We're talking college football today. So joining us is a guest, Dennis Dodd, the senior sports writer for CBS Sportsline College Football. I'm glad he could join us. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Todd, how are you? Glad to be here.
Doing very well. Today is our national championship selection show. We're going to start out first. This year's top five, putting it together, I had a difficult time penciling in a few of the teams, number one, or for that matter, one through five, because every team seemed to have a weakness to me, whether it was Notre Dame, defense question, Texas, new quarterbacks. How difficult was it for you, as opposed to previous, maybe the last 5 or 6 years, in terms of, is there a dominant football team this year?
I think you summed it up. Everybody's got holes. I mean, I had to put someone first because that's the way the rules go, and I put Ohio State. Well, when your number one team is replacing 9 defensive starters, what does that say about the rest of the country? I think it's very fluid. I think not only the top five, I think there's about 7 or 8 teams that can win this thing if things fall right. I think the fact that we now have conference championship games, have had them for a while, have thrown a tremendous monkey wrench into trying to pick a number one team, and teams in championship games, because their whole season can go kaput, you know, in that first week of December. So I think it's really hard.
Well, compared to previous, again, say 5, 6, 7 seasons, how difficult is it to find that dominant team as opposed to years past? Because we always had maybe a USC up there, mm-hmm. or the Oklahoma, or the Miami, easily the number one. How's this year compare in terms of the parity with maybe the last 5 or 6 years?
Well, it's the most. I've been telling people it's the most in the BCS era, and we're now entering the ninth year. It's as wide open as I've seen it. I mean, you mentioned USC. USC was on the verge of a dynasty, winning 2 championships and then losing in the final minute, you know, going for a third. Well, you know, they're in the top 10. They could do it again. People are loving Notre Dame. I'm a little bit less than that, but, you know, loving Notre Dame. I think one of the upshots of this whole thing is that the SEC might be out of it before the season starts, and for the same old reasons. You know, it's so competitive. They have a championship game that it's just hard to win that thing and hard to go undefeated. And as we've seen, as history's proven, even when you go undefeated, you're not necessarily in the championship game. So it's going to be tough there, too.
We're talking with Dennis Dodd, the senior writer for CBSSportsLine.com, college football. Well, I've said on this station many times, this is the year I'm predicting 5 1 loss teams at the end of the year, no one undefeated. So if you think it's difficult seeing 3 undefeated teams jockey for that number 1 and 2 spot to play for all the marbles, hold on to your hats when 5 1 loss teams are jockeying for 2 spots. Dennis, you told me earlier you went to South Bend this weekend to watch Notre Dame practice a little bit. Can you give me your take coming away from South Bend on what the Notre Dame players and coaches are feeling and how these preseason expectations are weighing on them? You get a sense up there of how Notre Dame's preparing for this year, anything different?
I don't think anything's changed as far as going in. Everybody's asking and looking at the defense because, you know, they are coming back, they're coming off a really bad bowl game. That left a bad taste in their mouth. You know, Ohio State ran up a Notre Dame opponent bowl record, what was it, 617 yards in that game. And I think it was almost a preview for 06. Ohio State's going to have that unstoppable offense, much the way Texas did last year. And Notre Dame has to shore up the defense to become something better than, you know, a 9-3 team and compete for all the marbles, which they try to every year. I did talk to Charlie Weiss privately, and he's a lot more encouraged than a lot of other people. They didn't have depth last year at all, to the point that he only felt safe playing or competent enough playing those top 3 linebackers. Well, they've lost 2 of them to graduation, and now Maurice Crum's going to have to be the ringleader. Last week, or about 10 days ago, they transferred a tailback over to play linebacker, Travis Thomas. But he's confident that they have enough depth and speed. He mentioned speed as well, which I think was a problem, to compete. Now, you know, that being said, they play 3 bowl games in the first 4 weeks. They go on the road to Georgia Tech and Michigan State, which I think people should not overlook at all, considering Michigan State beat them last year, and Georgia Tech is a wild, probably the country's most inconsistent team. It can come up and nail anybody, as we saw with Miami last year. So It's defense. I mean, I don't think anything has changed. So they get on the field, they won't know.
We're talking with Dennis Dodd, the senior writer for CBSSportsLine.com, college football. I'm going to give you 20 seconds to describe the new BCS system to everyone, Dennis. No, I'm just kidding you.
Can't do it. Cannot do it.
We got five BCS games this year. Just think of it that way. Dennis, does a mid-major crack the new BCS system this year? Will it take a 12-0 season to do that? And for listeners that don't understand what I mean when I say mid-major, that's your WAC, Mountain West, Conference USA, et cetera, conferences. Does a mid-major crack that system this year?
From the great unwashed, I call it. Well, let's set the parameters. I think you have to start ranked. It helps if you're ranked high. It helps if you're playing power teams in your non-conference and then beating them. I think the only team that fits that description right now is a TCU, which I think is going to be ranked by everyone, but has to play, I think, Utah, BYU, at Baylor, Texas Tech before the second week of October. For a team trying to make a name for itself, that's very, very tough. So I guess the short answer is no. I don't think it'll happen this year. They're just a year late. Remember, they were 11-1 last year and finished 14th in the BCS, which would have gotten them in had
Correct.
This year's rules been in effect. But they weren't, and they didn't get in. So, it's a little more inclusive, but I think the elements have combined that, you know, it's going to be the same old boy network this year.
Yeah, you want to watch out, too. We got a Thursday night ESPN game this year. Utah-TCU visits the Utes this year. Mm-hmm. Mark that one down. But talking about the BCS as a whole, can you name me off the top of your head maybe a couple sleepers? Maybe not in terms of making it to the national championship game, but a team maybe has a shot at making it as a BCS at large bit. Are there a couple teams out there that stand out in that surprise mold?
I love Cal. I think they've got an outside shot to win the Pac-10, and I think certainly they could grab an at-large berth. I think they're a top-10 team, especially if they get Tennessee, which I think they will in that first game at Tennessee on September 2nd. I don't think most people don't know about this team. They've probably got the best set of tailbacks, both 1,000-yard rushers in the backfield. They've been All-America on the defensive line, Brandon Meebane, at least preseason All-American. They just imported to a very strong offensive line. They imported a Duke guy, Tyler Krieg, who's got 26 career starts, who took advantage of that fifth-year transfer rule. I think the only question on this team is quarterback, where Nate Longshore gets the starting job a year late. He was a guy who had the job coming out of San Francisco City College and broke his leg in the first game, and they struggled all year at quarterback. Well, if he stays healthy, I think given Jeff Tedford's track record with quarterbacks, I think they'll be fine. I think this is a team that could go 10-2, 11-1, and at least grab a BCS at-large berth.
And no more getting snubbed like they did two seasons ago when
No.
Texas jumped them, went to the Rose Bowl to play Michigan over Cal. Might not get that this year. But, hey, in Baltimore, everyone knows Kyle Bowler, and they think Kyle Bowler. I get a lot of questions. Was Bowler a product of the Jeff Tedford system? And I say, hey, you know they run the ball in California under Jeff Tedford. Everyone thinks Aaron Rodgers, Kyle Bowler, but J.J. Arrington, this year it's going to be Marshawn Lynch, Justin Forsett. They run the ball out there. We're talking with Dennis Dodd, the senior writer for CBSSportsLine.com, college football. Can you name me a few programs that desperately need to get six wins and get bowl eligible this year? Maryland, again, we're here in Baltimore.
Yeah,
the Terps, there's Friesen with those 10-win seasons to start out, and now – not making a bowl. Are there any other teams that are in that must-win, get bowl-eligible type of scenario?
Well, I think a BYU. I don't think they can backslide after Bronco Mendenhall's first season. You know, the jury's still out on him. I think a Missouri, which has the schedule to go 8-4, but you're talking to a Missouri grad, and the almost and maybes are an annual thing at Missouri. They need to jump up in a very fluid Big 12 North. I think it's there for them to win. I think they've got the most talent of anyone in that division, but I don't see them winning it. And, you know, Gary Pinkel basically saved his job by beating South Carolina in the Independence Bowl. So I think that's a couple that really have to come through. They're really wringing their hands at BYU, not necessarily over Bronco Mendenhall. They just want to get back to the old ways. And I think once you lose that, you know, it's going to be tough. I mean, a team like Michigan. If you want to say a team that has to win six, look at Michigan. Well, they were only 7-5 last year, and, you know, their worst season in 21 years, and obviously Lloyd Carr is on the hot seat. So I think teams like that, I mean, you know, There's not any, there's no coach, there's been no coaching changes in the SEC. I guess a Rich Brooks at Kentucky, but it's going to be hard to make a case for them winning six games is another one. But that's a good group right there.
Yeah, I've actually put John Bunting on my hot seat here.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, after what he did last year, I don't know how much that keeps the Wolves away in a highly competitive ACC. I mean, I write about him every year being on the hot seat, and the guy's got nine lives.
I played football at Florida State under Chuck Amato as my segment coach, and I knew what type of defensive mindset he had. Boy, does he catch the heat in Raleigh. And I'm saying, you know, what coach is going to come into Raleigh and take you to a two-loss season or a one-loss season, which I think that's what he's got to do almost to get the monkey off his back.
Yeah, I agree. And frankly, they don't have the lineup to do it this year. He didn't follow up on those victories over Florida State, and now needs to challenge for at least the division, in the Atlantic Division. But you've got Boston College, Clemson, and Florida State. I think any one of the three that could win it. So I mean, he really looks like he's on the way out there. We'll see. But it just looks like he's in a situation where it's going to be no win.
All right, we're talking to Dennis Dodd, the senior sports writer, CBS Sportsline College Football. Dennis, if you had to mail in your Heisman ballot this week, you get to name three guys in order. Can you name me three guys, and can you also give me one or two names that we'd call a dark horse candidate, a guy no one sees coming, but at the end of the year is going to get invited to that Heisman ceremony?
Well, it's pretty easy in August because it really doesn't mean anything. I mean, Brady Quinn goes in as the favorite. Troy Smith, second, and Adrian Peterson third. I mean, obviously it's going to be a lot harder for him now without a starting quarterback. I might leave Brian Brohm above him now, because I think if Louisville or West Virginia wins that Big East and goes to the national championship game, which I think could happen, then you've got Brian Brohm in the mix too, coming off that knee. So probably those three or four.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up here with Dennis Dodd, and we're going to put him on the spot here as we do several guests as we talk about our national championship predictions. I'm going to say it's August. Drum roll, please. Who are your two teams you predict to play in the BCS National Championship game on January 8th?
Well, based on my rankings right now, you have to go with Ohio State and West Virginia. I think one thing is being missed by a lot of people going in this year, the Big East champion has the smoothest road to the title because of the schedule, because of the teams they play, because of the fact that West Virginia are coming into the season highly ranked. I think then if one of them gets hot, it's just a question of will the voters, vote them up there, two non-traditional power teams, if you will. Ohio State's a given. I think they can get there even if they lose to Texas early on, mostly because it's early on and it's a non-conference game. But I think you have to watch that. I mean, Louisville's going to have the signature victory if they get there against Miami. Miami comes to Louisville this year. West Virginia is going to have to play. I think they play Maryland on a Thursday night.
Thursday night, third week of September.
But a credibility game for them if they have to win. So, those are my two teams right now.
Dennis, thanks for your time. Appreciate you joining us, and I want to wish you the best this college football season. Enjoy your articles.
Well, thanks, Todd. I appreciate it.
Take care.